morning. Today is Monday, August 29th, 238th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is, you're a bi-coastal kind of guy, or tri-coastal kind of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, you bet.
Rob Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Bri. How are you?
Well, I'm dry.
Yeah, that has been a terrible thing down in Louisiana.
Yeah. It's where we'll start the program. As most folks know, that Rob's got some holdings down there and spends a little bit of time down there, so we'll talk about some of that impacts. I don't know how much you wanted to disclose, but okay, fine.
Yeah, gotta do it.
Our quote this morning comes from Matthew Henry. Peace is such a precious jewel. Let me try that again. Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth.
Isn't that great?
I wish he would run for office.
Yeah. Isn't that the case?
Whatever party, it would not matter.
It does not matter anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm astonished.
Yeah. Stunned and amazed.
Yes.
Just kind of move on. What's it like down there? I mean, we're hearing from the news media, and their coverage is always kind of, trying to be authentic, but also trying to find out all the various stories that might bring a little bit of emotion into the picture. But just regular guy, what's it look like? What's it feel like down there?
Well, it's worse than people realistically understand at this point, if you're not in the area. It's very, very, very broad flooding, and it's in areas that were not part of the flood map. And it's not going to be the waters are still receding. It's not going to be like Katrina, in that the Ninth Ward was really pretty well destroyed there. But the people knew it was coming, hadn't evacuated, and kind of took it. And to this day, nothing's been fixed. Down in Louisiana, these were houses destroyed. We had 7 employees who lost everything. But they will be rebuilt. They're the kind of people that will rebuild and not look for government to do it. So it'll be the tale of 2 different floods.
Between this and the shooting, it's kind of been rather an interesting couple of months down there. Huh?
Pretty exciting. And the odd thing about this is, whereas you see a hurricane coming, this was one where they said, yeah, we're going to get some rain.
Did it just stall out?
Yes, exactly. It stopped, and 30 inches later, it left.
So it's kind of like the King's Range here. It just comes in and honeydew. And yeah.
It just keeps coming.
Why did it stall out? I mean, it's not like there's a mountain it ran against.
No, a high pressure zone over the southeast. So it just had no place to go, and it kind of capped over the top of it, and it just stopped. And Louisiana's flat, whereas out here we have ranges, and it goes down, and it goes out to the ocean. Down there, it's just a big flat area, and it just sits there.
That's the biggest weird thing that I can recall when we were in Nashville, when that big flood came through in April.
Yeah.
How long it took to rise, how long it stayed once it had risen.
Yeah, well,
it's a different dynamic there.
It's a totally different dynamic. It's like a martini glass.
Okay, use your analogy. I've got a different one, but okay, we'll go with it.
Thought it was a good one.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the flooding in Louisiana. We hear about Baton Rouge as, I guess, being the focal point, or maybe it's just the population center. And this is purely a West Coast perspective. I'm envisioning the swamps coming up. And all the critters in the swamps are now all over the place. The homes are full with silt and things of that nature. Has it been anything like the flooding we get here, where there's raging currents and homes ripped off foundations and trucks flowing? That kind of flood, or is this more of an inundation?
Right,
just
the bubble,
wet
the
all
bubbling,
over?
Bubbling up, critters coming out. You got it spot on. Is it muddy? It's just miserable muddy. Is it roiling? It roils some. But once it hits a certain level, it just kind of keeps rising. It can be blue skies, and it's rising. It just keeps kind of flooding and filling. And
so culturally, yeah, this is in areas that folks weren't expecting. But is this a larger than normal, but still a normal acting flood?
No. This is going into places no one thought would reasonably flood. They weren't zoned in flood zones. And so now whether they should have been, I think now everything's going to be a flood zone. And it really is going to cause everyone to reevaluate.
Now, Louisiana is kind of the focal point of the media. But somehow I don't envision that the Mississippi comes down normal, 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 hits the state line, and all of a sudden pancakes out. Are there other states, other regions in the area that
wasn't
are also
the Mississippi getting? That flooded?
Oh, really?
No, no. It was the Amite. It was the Chifuncta. It was a lot of other rivers that ultimately flow. Some flow into Lake Pontchartrain and not even into the Mississippi.
So this really was a more regional
it was.
Event.
Absolutely. The Mississippi, ultimately it all gets there, but this was not a material Mississippi River flood. There were all the little feeder streams that just pummeled everything. Not much flows into the Mississippi.
So for us, what would be the equivalent of the area that was inundated? Would it be all of Humboldt County? Would it be around the bay? What size?
Well,
geographic size
is this? Well, imagine Ferndale with, instead of its 3-foot floods that it used to get, or 5-foot floods, with 15 feet.
Okay.
I mean, really high and really dispersed. We don't have a natural bowl the way the bayou is here. And so it's going to be interesting.
How long until everything kind of gets back within the wherever the channels might be now, before it gets back in and assessment really can happen? Will it take 5 or 6 weeks?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it looks like, and it's going to take a long time for these were not long existing neighborhoods that were destroyed. These were not dilapidated housing to begin with. These were tract homes, the likes of which you see in
suburbia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just awful. And they were living their dream, minding their business, and, you know, the floods came. And so Cher and I have a couple families living in of SN employees living in our house down there. And everyone's reaching out and giving helping hands. It's pretty cool. And so even in the tragedy, the good nature of people is coming out.
What do you think the upshot of this is going to be?
I think it'll be the tale of two floods. You have Katrina, where frankly the whole of the New Orleans just kind of sat around and bickered and talked, and to this day not many houses have been fixed. And then you'll have this, where people are going to rebuild and they're not ultra complaining. Schools are closed and the kids are going to deal with it, and you're just going to see a different degree of coping.
Are the two communities that different? Culturally?
Yeah, not just culturally, actually ethnically.
Just across the board. So
the Ninth Ward is almost 100% African American. They didn't rebuild. These are almost 100% that's an exaggeration to some degree, but not huge, of white. And so you're seeing two different cultures address the problems.
Is there much interaction between the two communities? I mean, just on a regular basis, do they one go to the other? I mean, is it like vacations like here to Santa Rosa kind of thing where you kind of go down and one town's got the big lights and the other one doesn't?
Well, New Orleans and Baton Rouge are an hour away. So figure it's
a little bit closer
here to Garberville.
Okay.
A lot of population on the road down. But a lot of newer construction was destroyed, whereas the New Orleans was old.
It's just intriguing for me to try to kind of grasp that there's such significant difference between the two communities being so similar. I mean, McKinleyville to Fortuna.
Yeah.
I mean, we can nitpick it apart, but pretty much everybody's kind of all the same.
Well, that's Humboldt County.
I understand. So to try to draw a parallel there is kind of a little challenging.
It's very challenging. You're right. And New Orleans, especially where it flooded, was the lower income African-American communities. They didn't choose to take it on themselves to fix it.
Well, yeah, there seemed to be an awful lot of ask or outreach for government.
Yes, this will not be an outreach for government.
This is not FEMA coming in and saving the day. This is...
I don't think so.
Just doing it.
But yeah. We'll see.
You know, time always tells, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkin.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Rob, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, obviously the Olympics has been taking a lot of people's attention the last little bit, and the ding-dong swimmer. Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, particularly somebody who has been in that position of being an Olympian, and I know that, you know, they still get drunk and they still run around and all that kind of stuff that kids do.
He's 31.
But this is a whole lot different. Yeah, he's older. In theory, he was more mature, and he's going out and, you know, getting ripped.
Well, I can't begrudge him getting ripped.
To that extent where you don't know where you are or what you're doing?
Well, to the
that's beyond the scale from where you know most of us play.
But it's an example of the worst truth is better than the best lie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding.
It was too bad.
Yeah, and how cool was it that Rio did do a good job?
I think it's
with all of the naysayers going in that they were able to.
I think it was wonderful.
Let me shoot an idea past you. I don't know if you have fingers into the IOC or not.
I can assure you I don't.
Yeah. I figured with that body you probably didn't, yeah. But yeah.
Well, I was going to be the weightlifting.
You were, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
He said you're not this year, big boy. I have had a thought for a couple of years now, particularly with the financial distress so many countries are experiencing. And you see pictures of the former Olympic sites, and they kind of look like the place time is forgotten. I mean, just looking rough. Of having four standing summer compounds, facilities, that would host on a rotational basis, so every 16 years, and the same with winter, and they become international training facilities for the kids. You can go there anytime as long as you're, you know, sanctioned and the place is maintained. It's always cutting edge. It's set up properly. Countries aren't having to go into billions of dollars of debt to try to make something happen or have years after to pay it off. It just would kind of seem like that would be a more logical approach and everybody would win.
That's a brilliant idea. Or I was even for like, let's make the summer games at Athens. That's the forum going
for. Okay, one standing.
One standing place. And Lord knows they need the stimulus.
Yeah.
And then one standing. But your four is a great one to rotate. And
then everybody can. Because I was thinking the training facilities also, because those cost.
Oh, millions or billions. Did you notice there wasn't one Indian? Or maybe. Was there a medalist from India?
You know, with some of the sports that don't get covered?
Maybe.
Tough to tell.
But certainly.
It's like they
there's a billion people that somehow just didn't show.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe that's not a major.
Well, maybe they're too busy tapping out our code for our computers. But I thought it was shocking.
It is interesting that we've not seen. Well, we haven't seen a lot of the countries just because they're either not competing or didn't qualify.
Yeah, I don't know what the standard bearer is. But when you see a billion people simply, maybe there were tons and I'm just not aware of
it. I didn't see all of the opening ceremonies, and that's where you probably would have seen a majority of the athletes. Yeah, it's interesting. And Larson had this a couple last week. There's a gal who's an American gal who's won the gold 6 consecutive Olympiads.
Wasn't that awesome?
And you don't know about her.
No idea.
Rifle shooting.
Yeah. And she's just.
I mean, you do something like that, you know, you would think that somebody like that would be up on a pedestal somewhere.
Well, guns, being good with guns is not exactly.
I know.
A merit
I know.
Badge that, these days.
That's the obvious
with the liberal media.
Yeah, yeah.
Might blame her on gun violence.
It's kind of cool to see the Olympics and how that plays out and the patriotism that's associated with that. Do you see that as a possible springboard for us? I mean, you know, Ashton, what was the decathlon champion?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Durant, I think it was Durant who made the comment, you know, we look at America when we're inside the bottle in our own borders, and all we see are the issues, the challenges, the pettiness, all that. And you go outside and, you know, you hear somebody chanting USA, USA, and you're part of it. And it does something to you. It changes it. You get a different perspective on what's going on. And that maybe the country isn't going downhill quite as quickly as what we all think of, because that's where we live.
Well, I thought Durant was wonderful the way he talked about it. I thought that was just great. And we should be proud of this country.
I wonder if there's a chance for a national campaign or an awareness or something like that.
I think that's Trump's campaign. Let's make America great again. And if there's anything that shows off greatness, these Olympic athletes are magnificent. They've worked hard for virtually no compensation.
Yeah, I bet you got a college scholarship.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the best in the world, which is how many people can say they're the best in the world? It's just.
And be true.
And be true, yeah. I'm the best in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some of those egos that need to be checked a little bit.
Yes,
yeah.
There are.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll check ours at the closet and we'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, looking at some of the different things as they're shaping up for the fall, we've got the presidential campaign, such as it is.
Yeah.
We've got locals. We've got regionals. What kind of sense do you have? Is there anything with the various polling that you're familiar with and some of the field studies that are saying something is going on? I saw something with independents that said that they're not relying on social media, that the biggest movers for the independents are the internet proper and radio, which I thought was really intriguing. But that there's this sizable group that's there, and everybody's trying to fractionalize it. And, you know, the male millennials are going to be, come on, you know, it's
we're getting really ridiculous analysis these days. But I think we have to be honest about it around here is we're not part of the electoral process, nor are we down in Louisiana. These are states that are well-defined in their voting tendencies, and it's the way it is.
California goes one way, Louisiana goes one. I mean, there's a bunch of those states. So what is it, five now?
Five or six. And
to have a station there.
Oh, it's utopia, man.
I've heard stories that way.
Roll your kids in private school, and off you go to the races.
Yeah.
But around here, you know, I think there are a few issues that are bubbling around pretty aggressively.
How is 64 or the legalization of recreational in California playing outside of the state?
California has no credibility nationally, from what I can identify, or maybe it's just my group that I deal with. But New Yorkers think it's pretty awful, and when you lose New Yorkers because you're crazy, you've gone pretty far. And it's funny to hear them talk about de Blasio. They really have contempt for him. They're liberals, but he offends their sensibilities of being intellectual, too.
Oh, so he's a different kind.
He's not smart.
Okay.
He's just a visceral liberal. So,
do you think we're going to see, and I've had discussions with conservatives around this, discussions around liberals, about the legalization and the acceptance of it. Do you think the feds are finally getting to the point where they're going to make a determination? I know they had the ruling a couple weeks ago that said it's going to stay a Schedule I drug, marijuana is. But having different enforcement things throughout the country, are there 27, 28 that have medicinal and the feds don't recognize it yet?
Yeah.
I know there's going to be probably a dozen or so at the end of this year that are going to have recreational and the feds don't recognize it. It really seems like a real split dichotomy going on.
Well, don't you think the solution is just to have the feds delist it and have it be a pure states' rights issue?
That would probably be the simplest, and then there would be certainty.
The federal government is loath to give the states any power these days. They like to centralize.
Do you think it's just states' rights? You think it's boiled down that simple?
Well, I think it should be, but whether it is or not, certainly at this point it's chaos, and chaos is never good.
No, for anybody, whatever side of the ledger you're on.
Yeah, and well, laws must have a moral basis. And if we start ignoring one law but not another, we've got a problem. And that's where we are today.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then there's a bunch of us, banks, broadcasters, that our hands are tied. You know, some of that stuff that really hasn't been thought out, and ignoring it isn't going to do anything.
No, but it's going to have to sort itself out in the next near future.
Okay, so you sense there's some momentum that way.
I hope so.
And with that equivocation, we're out of here. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.
All right, bye.